Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And we'll take your phone calls this hour with Deepak Chopra. Next hour, we'll have some open lines about strange gut feelings, so get ready for that as well. But we'll be back in a moment. Your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Deepak Chopra, your phone calls. Deepak, do you want to run through the 15 secrets very quickly for
us? Yeah, very quickly. Chapter 1 talks about the hidden dimension where everything is connected to everything else. Chapter 2 tells you how you construct the world in which you find yourself. Chapter 3 tells you how to get there by acting, feeling, doing, and being. Chapter 4 tells you the source of fulfillment, of happiness, of relationship, and the fulfillment of desire. Chapter 5 discusses the nature of suffering and how to go beyond it. Chapter 6 talks about creativity and choiceless awareness and how through creative means you can solve any problem. Chapter 7 talks about how to monitor your spiritual progress. Chapter 8 discusses the nature of evil and how to understand it and alleviate it to the extent that you personally can alleviate it. Chapter 9 talks about the multidimensional nature of existence and the other dimensions in which our soul exists. Chapter 10 talks about the nature of death and what happens when we die and how to go beyond the fear of death. Chapter 11 talks about how to access the universal intelligence through which the universe expresses itself, how the universe expresses itself through our nervous system. Chapter 13 tells you how to go beyond your ego into the domain of your spirit. Chapter 14 tells you how to understand the significance of events happening in your life. And chapter 15, which is the last secret, tells you how to discover who you are, what your purpose is, where you came from, and where you're going. So it's, you know, it's the most exhaustive investigation into the domain of consciousness and spirit that I've done in all my life. It's the culmination of 25 years of very serious work and, as I said, meditation and scientific inquiry. The Book of Secrets, Unlocking the Hidden Dimensions of Your Life, came to me after the passing away of my father, and I wrote it as a tribute to him.
All right, very good, Deepak. Let's go to some calls. A lot of people lining up for you. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hello, Doctor.
Hi.
Hello, sir.
This is Rob. I'm in New York. I'm in North Carolina today. Driving along. And this question popped into my head as you were talking about terrorism and as one of your biggest concerns. It's also one of my, obviously, biggest concerns, as with probably most of your callers and listeners. What about a person who is willing to take their own life and the life of innocent people? What that person's obviously ready to die. And they've committed an atrocity, and an atrocity. Where do their souls go? I mean, what level do they attain by doing this?
Well, you know, you have to realize that such an act speaks of great desperation. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what led such a person to such desperation that they would give up their life? And, you know, when you ask that question, you can get to the context of it and begin to solve it by starting a dialogue with reasonable people in that environment who can give you an insight into the context of that, the mythical context, the historical context, the emotional context, the economic context. And then there's a room for solving this problem. Now, what happens to the individual person and their soul? Well, you know, as you reap, so shall you beget for yourself what you reap. As you sow, so shall you reap.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that question. First time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure.
I have a question about healing ourselves.
Right.
I have a complicated disease and been trying to follow your books and your meditation CDs and not having much success. And I was wondering if you had any more specific suggestions for us out there who want to manifest health.
Right. Well, the first thing is to be sure that you're not doing any change in your life through a sense of fear, because fear interferes with whatever you do. And the second thing is pay attention to the quality of your sleep. Pay attention to nurturing relationships in your life. Make sure that you're not harboring any toxic emotions. If necessary, pay attention to taking nutritional supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, consult somebody who really knows a holistic approach. Where do you live?
I live in Reno, Nevada.
Right. So that's not too far away from our center in San Diego. But if you call our center, we might be able to refer someone to you in mm-hmm. your area.
And just one last question on what you were talking about. You were saying to get rid of toxic emotions.
Mm-hmm.
What could I take to do
well,
that?
Well, you'd get rid of toxic emotions by actually having to deal with emotions, understanding your emotions, and then releasing your emotions. It's not by taking anything physical.
Right. So just confronting them?
Well, the steps. You take responsibility, you feel them, you label them, you define them, you express them, you share them, you release them.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
by the way,
you.
I
Good
do deal with all this in the Book of Secrets.
The cover that I have is a butterfly. Is that what's on the printed up version of
yes,
the book?
Yes, sir. It's a metaphor for transformation, that if enough of us undergo a personal transformation into a higher level of our own expression, then the world would change. There is an organization that I'm a member of called Alliance for the New Humanity. May I give their website?
Mm-hmm.
It's anhglobal.org. anhglobal.org. So A stands for Alliance, N for New, H for Humanity, global.org. And they are a foundation of peacemakers throughout the world that are saying that if we all transform, the world will transform. And it takes a critical mass of personal transformation to see that transformation in the world. Mahatma Gandhi used to say, "Can you be the change that you wish to see in the world?" He used to also say, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. If you create peace of mind in your own self, and there's a critical mass of people creating that peace of mind, then the world will transform. The butterfly is the metaphor for transformation.
Okay, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast Around with Deepak Chopra. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Dr. Chopra.
How are you, sir?
Honored to speak to you.
My privilege.
Well, I got just a few little questions, so I'll try to make it fast.
Okay, sure.
Back in 73, I got in a pretty bad motorcycle wreck, and it was like the world was one way, and then I popped out of a coma, and the world had changed. And during that time, I kind of floated up, and I saw myself, and I looked down in the bed, and I said, hey, at least I'm not in any pain. And I supposedly flatlined 9 times. And out of the doctors, I could hear him talking, he was such a young person to die, et cetera, et cetera. And I just wondered, where did my soul go? Where could my soul have been at that time when I was, I guess, out of my body?
See, your soul is always there. Your soul is not in your body, just like I'm not in your radio right now, you know. You're listening to me through a little box, but if you go inside the box, you'll find a bunch of wires. You won't find me. Similarly, if I go inside your body and your brain, I'll find a bunch of connections, but I won't find your soul, because your soul is what in science we say non-local. It doesn't have a location in space-time. The experience that you had was a very genuine experience. Many people experience that, and there's a vast amount of literature on what is called near-death or after-death experience. So your experience is such an authentic experience of you realizing that you're not your body, that the body is just the place that you and your memories and dreams and imagination call home for the time being, and that the real you cannot be destroyed even when the body is going destruction. So thank you for sharing that experience. It's an experience that I share with in the Book of Secrets as well, and the scientific explanation of that is what we call non-local reality. If you read the book, chapter 10, you will see this experience is in more detail.
In one of the secrets, you say evil is not your enemy. What do you mean by that?
Evil is the projection of our collective primitive impulses, of our collective rage, collective anxiety, collective fear, collective distress. And so every time we feel any of those impulses, we add to the sum total of consciousness in that realm. So the best way to handle evil, again, is through your personal transformation. It, of course, needs a critical mass to do that, but you can help. You know, in physics, there's an expression called, when an electron vibrates, the universe shakes. So you have a much more power to change evil through your own consciousness. People like Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, they were the people who managed to really change the face of evil through their own selves.
Next up, let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, George. I was wondering, Epoch, have you ever heard of or read a book called Conversations with God?
Oh, of course. He's a very good friend of mine, Neil.
Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah.
And where are you calling from, by the way?
Sarnia, Ontario.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
What are your views on demons and ghosts or destructive forces in general?
Again, they're projections of consciousness. Just like angels and divine beings are projections of consciousness, so are diabolical beings projections of consciousness. The evil that we see in the world is a projection of the collective rage. You know, everything that is seen as images in the collective consciousness ultimately manifests as reality. So when you change the images in your own consciousness in towards healing, towards love, towards compassion, towards understanding, then you diminish the expression of that in the collective consciousness.
Okay, so you're saying our thoughts collectively manifest themselves as reality?
Absolutely, sir.
All right, thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your question. Why, the calls just keep rolling in here. Wildcard line, it's your turn. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George. Hi, Dr. Chopra.
How are you, sir?
There are many, many things I'd love to talk to you about, and one day we will.
Okay.
Because I actually got into Vedic philosophy through Newtonian science, believe it or not. The Newtonian science told me that Vedic philosophy was right. But I also know from my study of Vedic philosophy that as in Western science, we have a sort of two levels of existence. We have the pragmatic and the transcendental.
Right.
And we have a responsibility to preserve life at the pragmatic level and not use the fact that we survive death as an excuse to treat life cheaply.
Right.
So in that spirit, I will ask a very practical question that is very topical. I know it's one on George's mind today and that of many people in the audience. And that is, with the shortage of the flu vaccine, I was wondering if you could talk about some of the various herbal and other remedies and prophylactics that could be used so that people could do very well without the vaccine and not have to fear the flu.
Well, make sure that you get enough rest, enough sleep. Make sure that you can take a little time to meditate twice a day. Make sure that you drink enough water. Make sure that you take maybe even 2 multivitamins a day. And make sure that if you have access to herbal remedies or herbal prophylaxis, then something that I recommend very highly is something called Biochavan, B-I-O-C-H-A-V-A-N.
What is that, Deepak?
It is a combination of several herbs that contain high levels of antioxidants. If you go to the Chopra site, you can learn about it. You know, there's a place where there is a little formulary of herbal preparations that are used as preventive measures.
Very good. Thank you so much. Thanks for that question, by the way. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. You're on with Deepak Chopra. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Hi, Mark. And where are you, sir?
I'm in Kansas City.
Missouri or Kansas?
Kansas City, Kansas.
Ah, there you are.
Actually, Mission, Kansas suburb.
Okay.
But I'm right near downtown. It's a pleasure to get on tonight. And Doctor, you have impressed me with your philosophy. And I missed the exact phrase you used for the last caller that used it. My first question would be on the non-locality issue. You're a spiritual man, but non-locality is a physical matter, and I totally agree with that, and I follow you with that with that philosophy in your spiritual quest. But my main quest right now is number 15. I missed number 12. Either you skipped it or I missed it.
No, you were very alert. I did skip it. You were very alert. I did skip it. The number 12 was, the only time is now. The only time is the present moment. The present moment is the window to eternity. The past is in imagination. The future is in imagination. If you have your attention on what is and see its fullness in every moment, you will feel the presence of the infinite being. The infinite being is not an imagination, is in life-centered present moment awareness. Thanks for bringing me back to secret number 12. I also knew I had missed something.
Well, we went through them pretty fast, didn't
yes.
we? Let's go to our...
But he was alert and listening.
He was, better than I was. Wild card line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas. This is Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Great fan of both of you gentlemen. Glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Just wondering how, just not to throw you a curveball, but to throw you a curveball, some great injustice, like, for instance, Bill Cosby, who's brought so much joy to the world, losing his son in this insane murder. How does that show that maybe sometimes even God has a perverse sense of humor or what?
No, sir. You know, we don't... Unfathomable are the mysteries of karma. You cannot fathom all the mysteries of karma because the soul is not squeezed into the volume of a single lifetime or the span of a single body. And there's something called personal karma, collective karma, and, you know, it's too complicated to be able to explain a simple incident like that.
Well, that's right. But it is unexplainable, and it makes you wonder how something or why something like that would happen.
Yeah, but do understand that nothing is random or accidental, since everything is interwoven, interconnected, interdependent, and inseparable. There are reasons for everything. The reasons are complex and cannot be understood by linear, rational logic.
Well, that's as good an answer as I've ever heard.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for speaking with me.
All right, thanks, Deepak. And thanks, caller, for that. What are some of your favorite moments, Deepak, when you're writing your books?
The favorite moment is a flash of insight, a flash of knowingness, a feeling of understanding, inspiration. The moment of creativity is really a moment of deep humility, deep sense of wonder, deep sense of amazement at the luminous mystery of our existence.
What's a reaction to mainstream doctors when they take some of the courses you provide?
Well, you know, they come for the courses, so they're obviously interested. We don't see the ones that don't come to the courses. So the ones who come to the courses, their reaction is wonderful. They love the courses. They keep coming back, and they want to be certified as teachers. We've certified over 1,000 people across the country and in other countries to teach some of the concepts of mind, body, and spirit.
Does that make them a better doctor, do you believe? A little more well-rounded?
It makes them a better healer, you know, because much of our training makes us superb technicians who know everything about the human body, but not necessarily the best healers, because we miss looking at the emotions, at the mind, at relationships, and most importantly, at the soul.
Stay with us. We'll be back with our final phone calls with our guest Deepak Chopra right here on Coast to Coast AM.
I feel it's time for us to get back together. Get the best of things, oh baby, when we're together.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with StreamLink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
I feel it's time for us to get back together. Get the best of things, baby, when we're together. Yeah, whether or never, and I'm wishing on a star.
George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, there's a reason for this bumper song we just played. I got an email today, and I want to read it to you. So, George, I'm writing to tell you about my nephew, who was really a big fan of yours. Alec passed away October 28th, 2003, just 3 weeks shy of his 14th birthday. I know you don't do requests, but could you play a piece of Sweet Child of Mine for him? He was a sweet kid. He loved Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses. There it is, Alec. There it is. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Deepak Chopra, our guest this hour, and your phone calls as they continue to roll in. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Yeah, hi, Dr. Chopra.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. This is John in Tucson, Arizona.
All right, John, sure.
The question I have, first of all, Dr. Chopra, I've only read two of your books, but I've reread them several times, and I enjoy it. I pick up something new every time I read them, but my question is, what I've always had a problem with is of getting a grasp on what the soul is. And if you are, like, say, a subscriber to the Big Bang and the evolutionary theory and everything, mm-hmm. usually when we speak of, at least when I speak of soul, I'm referring to human beings. But if everything was created out of something, whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
are we saying that only humans have souls, or do you obtain a soul only by achieving a level of consciousness, or do all living things have souls? Or
you know, there's no contradiction about Big Bang, modern cosmology, biology, and what we mean by soul. The soul is the observer in a biological organism. So, of course, in human consciousness is the consciousness that is aware of itself, that, you know, you are conscious that you are conscious. You are aware that you are aware. So your soul is self-aware. So, and in nature, everything has intelligence. There's an observer within every biological organism. And today, scientists tell us that even, you know, what we call inanimate nature is imbued with subjectivity. Now, the level of sophistication of that subjectivity is different in depending on your evolution, depending on where you are in evolution. So when I use the word of soul, I'm talking about the subjective experience of consciousness. And in that realm, everything has it. And even before the Big Bang, there was the potential for the Big Bang. And that potential was that what differentiated into both observer and observed. Again, you know, I do address this in the very first chapter of the Book of Secrets.
Okay, can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Do you think that then that it's possible for, say, humans to evolve on this planet to a further level of understanding?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, there's a poem of Rumi. It says, "When I die, I will soar with angels, and when I die to the angels, what I shall become, you cannot imagine." So wherever imagination goes, the imagination, insight, intuition, creativity, meaning, purpose, these are the attributes of the soul. The first soul first imagines, and then it becomes.
Great. Thank you very much, and I look forward to reading your new book.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Deepak, you write a little bit about the shadow. Explain that.
The shadow is the dark side of our soul. It's the place where primitive atavistic impulses reside, fear, anger, the things that we're ashamed of, and the things that we try to suppress. And the shadow is primitive, it is shrouded in myth, it's irrational, it's dark, it's secretive, and if it's suppressed, then it manifests as pathology, whether that's violence or whether it's some sexual misdemeanor. You know, the Catholic Church scandal is a classic example of the shadow emerging in otherwise very, you know, very spiritual people or people who with spiritual disciplines. And that always happens when an energy is not understood, when it is suppressed, when it is denied, when it is manipulated. Then it builds up and it ultimately manifests as toxicity. So the shadow reeks of primitiveness. It's the place where civilized people don't want to go, you know, the place that smells of the charnel house, of the prison, of the lunatic asylum, the den of thieves and pimps and thugs, and yet it's there in everyone.
International line, your turn. Hi. Hello. Going once.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Laura.
Hi, Laura. Where are you?
Well, how about this? I'm salutations from the 49th parallel. Can you figure that one out?
I don't know exactly where you are, but I'd say you may be up there in Canada somewhere.
Very good, George.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought you'd know. I'm really happy to speak to you both. What I'd like to address is I'd like to ask Dr. Chopra, first of all, if you subscribe to the idea and embrace it fully, the idea of reincarnation, is this something that you have come to terms with yourself personally?
Yes, I feel reincarnation is the quantum creativity of the soul. It's wisps of memory and threads of desire and imagination that take the karmic software and take a quantum leap of creativity to express themselves in a new body-mind system.
Lovely. I'm 45 years old, and because of circumstances, being orphaned very young, I was fortunately in many aspects, not indoctrinated in any religion. I was like a bird on a wire. But as time has come past, I think about 30, I truly became seriously God conscious. I would call it that. And so I started to read from, of course, the ancients, the Christian, the Judaism, Islam, the Vedas, and just sticking to very ancient main themes, nothing New Age, and I wanted to start at the beginning. And so I'm still grappling with reincarnation, but that doesn't mean that I reject it. Now, my question would be that karma as well, another concept which I understand, and again, have not fully embraced yet these ideas, but I think I'm very close. I sometimes am having difficulty understanding, as we all do, I think, some of us more clearly than others. I think Mother Teresa can say why she was on the planet, and there are other of us out there in the coast-to-coast land that we grapple, and it's not clear to us why we're here all the time.
Well, the key is keep asking,
asking, but,
and you close your eyes in quiet meditation, yeah. Say, who am I, what do I want, why am I here,
exactly.
Then live and breathe into the questions, and you'll soon move into the answers.
Yes, but here's where I've come to, and I want to ask you if this is a possibility, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that I have lived, like others, a life thus far of Shakespearean proportions. It's been very tragic from the time I think I came out of the womb. But I've come out very well of it, not bitter and well-grounded and a loving human being. And thus, I keep asking myself, because I'm not too familiar with these concept of karma and reincarnation to the nth degree. I'm still learning.
Yeah, what's your question?
The question is, could it be possible that I could be here just for the simple reason that I'm a test to my fellow human beings?
Of course, that could be a very legitimate
reason.
Just
something as simple as that?
Yes, if that rings true for you, then it might be one of the reasons why you're here, but every experience you have is meant to take you to a higher level of understanding of your own self.
Very good. Laura, thanks for your call. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, George. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure.
To ask Dr. Chopra something. Dr. Chopra, what's a good way either to connect with the higher self or surrender to it so that it might be more manifest?
Right. There are four ways. First, through expressing your love and receiving love from all directions that it comes to you. So we say the way of love and compassion. Every time you participate in an act of love, even when you think of love and pay attention to love, you get in touch with your higher self. The second way is through quiet meditation and reflective inquiry, to silence the mind by watching breathing or repeating a mantra or repeating a phrase like the Lord is my shepherd or thy will be done, and then going to a quiet place and asking questions like who am I, what do I want, what's my purpose, what's my contribution. So that's the second way, the way of stillness, meditation, reflective inquiry. The third way is through action. So whenever you do something, you say, I do this on behalf of the infinite being. Everything I do comes from God, belongs to God. That way you will not have any anxiety in what you do, and you will be impeccable, and you'll do the right things at the right moment, what we call spontaneous right action. And the fourth way is by understanding through science the nature of reality, because physical laws are nothing but manifestations of a universal intelligence. So those are the ways that you get in touch with your higher self.
Thank you, Dr. Chopra.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. First time caller line, you're up with Dr. Deepak Chopra. Hi.
Hey, George, big fan of the show. No words I could say could ever do it justice. Mr. Deepak, man, I returned your book to the bookstore today, and I'm feeling like quite the fool because I have to say I agree with everything you say. I was just prejudging your book. It was just a little bit different than what I'm used to reading, like about I just wanted to know about meditating. My consciousness gets in the way. I overthink things. I know, I believe everything you say, and I have these realizations of like knowing what is true when I read and hear such things. But when it comes down to actual technique and applying it to better myself, which I need to do, it's just like I overthink.
Yeah, you know, you need to read the book slowly, and there are many, many techniques over there that are suggested. So try them out slowly. Don't be in a hurry, because many of the things you already intuitively know. And even though I say that my book is the book of secrets, the real book of secrets is your soul.
Okay, you're going to have to go back and get that book.
yeah, I'll do it tomorrow.
All right, great. Thanks for being on the program. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Deepak Chopra. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi.
Go ahead.
Yes, Mark. And thanks for getting me back on. I really appreciate that.
That's okay, Mark.
And Doctor, I really appreciate your philosophy, and you're really impressing me tonight. And number 15 on your list, mm-hmm. that's where I'm at. And I've been there since I can't remember, since I was a young boy. Mm-hmm. But and I don't want an answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I'd like to move on to my second point, which is you made a point where when two people get together. I mean, Jesus said it in the Bible. I mean, I'm a Christian man.
Yes.
I don't know what religion you are, and I don't care what religion you are. But it doesn't conflict with what the Bible says. When Jesus says, when two people agree on something, it comes to pass.
Well, absolutely. And he says, when two or more are gathered in my name.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm referring
expression.
To. Yes. Thank you, sir. And then my third point would be more of a debate type question, and the contradiction would lie in the global philosophy of which would be in opposition to Art Bell's fear of getting people together thinking on one thing.
Well, you know, right now the major issues of the world are economic parity. You know, there's a lot of poverty in the world, social injustice, ecological disasters and conflict, and they're all related to the fracture in our collective soul, to the loss of relationship. So I really feel that the only way to solve these major issues is through collective consciousness. That's why I mentioned the Alliance for the New Humanity. I mentioned the Wild Divine site, because these are places where you can go and learn more about yourself and your connection to everybody else.
What do you think about the fate of the world, Deepak?
It's a choice right now, George. If we continue in our ancient habits with the modern capacities we have, we could destroy the world. And you know, soon, in the near future, military strength will not be an advantage, because through computers, people will be able to suffocate cities, cut off electricity, poison the food chain, interfere with air traffic signals. So the playing field is going to level out. Either we have to change our ancient habits, or we risk our extinction. The choice is ours. And the time is coming where we need to think of ourselves as a global community, a new humanity, and start getting rid of, tribal tendencies. In many ways, you know, ethnic tribalism and nationalism are the same thing. You know, we have to go beyond that limited identity, because we are much bigger than that, and we are much larger than that, and we all have the same things that we want. We want peace, we want harmony, we want laughter, we want love, we want playfulness, we want good relationships, and we want the fulfillment of our desires, both material, emotional, and spiritual.
I'll take two out of those. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is David. I'm calling from Tucson.
Hi, David.
First off, I wanted to say, Dr. Chopra, I really enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything you say.
Sure.
One thing that, real quick, I wanted to make a little comment on your discussion of forgiveness with George, and how he was discussing his inability or his fear that he might be unable to forgive people. I loved what you had to say about it, and I wanted to add in there that resentment and bitterness, one thing that they say about it is that holding resentment and bitterness towards somebody is like taking poison in the hopes that the other person will die.
Yeah, you're so right. So right.
And I just wanted to, you know, ask a real quick question. As one of the other callers mentioned, I'm also a Christian, and I also have a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of reincarnation. I often hear other people, I haven't heard you specifically say it, but I often hear other people when they talk about reincarnation of souls, that the souls get to choose their life path and the lessons that they're going to learn. The problem that I have with that is that it kind of, in my mind, it justifies evil by saying, well, you know, that soul needed to learn that lesson, or you know, being the victim that soul needed to learn that lesson. And it kind of...
Yeah, I never say that. I say, you know, sometimes they're unfathomable. The mysteries of existence are unfathomable by the human brain. And as far as Christianity is concerned, you know, I think in the New Testament, it's hinted that Christ in the previous incarnation was Elijah.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard that too. And I'm still, you know, I'm still working on that. But anyway, like I said, I really appreciate what you've had to say.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and you have a good night.
You too, sir.
Appreciate it. As the clock ticks, Deepak, we're out of time, but your website, of course, chopra.com, the Wild Divine you gave us is linked up.
Yes, and anhglobal.org. I'm really grateful that you're mentioning all three.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. This book, of course, called The Book of Secrets. How do you recommend people read this? In a quiet
very
place?
Very slowly, and at the end of each chapter, there are certain exercises that they can do which will make clear to them what they're reading intellectually.
Okay, very good. Deepak, thank you so much.
Thank you, George. Appreciate, always a delight.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Now, next hour, open lines. We're going to give you the numbers at the top of the hour, those of you who haven't written them down or have them tattooed to your forearm or anything like that. But one of the things, you know, as we were talking about tonight with Deepak is his ability to forgive and forget. My ability, not so, to be able to do that. I'll explain a little bit more about my rationale. But what I would like you to do during open lines is to call and let me know if you can forgive and tell me if you've had to. What kind of stories might have surrounded some of this? I mean, did you have a loved one, for example, who may have been severely injured by someone and you forgave them? Or maybe you can't forgive in some cases, like me. That'll be part of our topic with Open Lines, just you, just me, next on Coast to Coast AM.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.